No, good. I will apply for a few Sif Yud Aleph. Asura lahatzia mitaso b'fanav. Right? This is also, just like Zdiyas Nakos, only asur b'fanav. This is one of three malachos. She can't make her bed. Obviously, making a bed is suggestive of things that people do in beds, which we can all figure out what we mean. But dafka prisa sadina v'amich. Okay, that's what says in the Gemara. The next part is a chiddush of Tosos. Dafka prisa sadina v'amich. So only putting on the sheet and the blanket. Shu dera chiba. That's chiba. Avalatzasa kermak sasos. But putting the pillows and the mattresses, like the heavy stuff, Shuhu Torah be'eno derechiba, that's a Torah, and it's not derechiba, that's shari, that's mutter. Meaning things that the shivchas do, that's a tircha, that's not derechiba, is mutter. Only things that are derechiba are usur. You know, it's not exactly clear how this translates to our reality. We don't put the mattresses out, you know, with heavy work like they once did. But Lamaisa, the minig is to be machmir, even though putting on sheets is annoying, but still that is the sedinim, and even though yeshless topic, Lamaisa, the minig is to be machmir. You're staying someplace in a random room and you have to carry mattresses up and down the stairs, so that's okay. But it's not such a common thing nowadays. Okay, shalom b'fanav akol mutar, afilu hu yodea shehi matzaso sam, shalom b'fanav, no problem, even if she totally knows, it is not a problem. It's not, again, this isn't such a hard harchaka to be nizar on, because sort of mimon hashach, if the husband's there, then he can make his own bet. And if the husband's not there, then it's much of a boy to make his bed. So unless you're very lazy, it's not really hard to be miser on this. Yes?
I think it may actually be a side of myself. Let's say a person, a wife, likes to make the bed in a way that you talk in a religious way and you have to put your pillows. That's, I don't think any husband is like annoying. No one is there. No one's interested in that.
Okay, so either she should do it when you're not there, or I'll give you a little tip that when everyone gets married, there are things that their wife really, really likes and that are annoying and pointless and meaningless, and you don't understand why she cares and what use it is, and etc. So you should learn to do them anyway.
Sorry, we own three
pillows. Okay. Anyway, I'm just speaking in general. I'm just speaking in general. Okay, bye. Asur litzuk lamayim. Here's the funny part. Hachatzas panav yadav beraglav is asur. Washing his hands and face and feet is asur. Which was a chiba. The husband used to come home, and I guess the wife would wash his hands and face and feet. That was the thing they did in those days. So the problem, of course, is what all the Rishonim ask, which is, what do you mean? Negiya is asur. Obviously, she can't wash him because she can't touch him even without washing. So how could there be an issur of washing if she's not allowed to touch him even without washing? And therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, asur litzok lamayim. She can't even pour the water. Obviously, it doesn't mean touching him. That's asur with or without washing. The chiddush of washing, even pouring water is asur. Lirchot pan of yodah, rather feel in the gospel. As he says, even she's not touching or feeling my exonim, even cold water, you might have thought it's only even hot water. No, even cold water is asur. And here we get to a big machlokas between the shach and the Taz, as to exactly what is usher. So the Shulchan Aruch, paskins like, Lashon the Shulchan Aruch certainly sounds like the Lashon of the Sheet of Rina Yonah, quoted in the Shach, means she's not even allowed to pour water and then he'll take the bowl and wash with it. Basically to bring him a bowl of water to wash with, or to pour water for him to wash with. Okay, keep in mind in those days they didn't have running water. So what would someone do? They would sit down and, you see from the stories in the Gemara, and you bring them a bowl of warm water to wash their hand and face. So that's what we're referring to here by her chatza. To bring in the bowl of water or to pour water into a bowl. That's what the Shach quotes from here from Rina Yonah. Also, lasan the bala kiton shalmayim the kalim sheir chazben raglav nishu derechiba. You can't even bring him a bowl of water or pour a pour water into his bowl. The Taz takes objection to this, and the Taz says, that's ridiculous. Just bringing him water can't be asur. So what must the asur be? So he's in the diet from the Lashon of the Rashba, no means pouring water on him. That's the machlokas. The Taz thinks the Isser killed it. Everyone agrees not touching. Taz thinks the Isser is pouring water on him. But the Mechaber sounds more like, which is what it sounds like from the Rashba. The Mechaber, okay, maybe it's not so clear. The Taz starts and saying, Chor Mashma Lashon Zu Asur. Maybe the Mechaber is, we won't say who he holds. She can't pour the water. Yeah, you can go however you want. Lamaik said the Taz is only Usher to pour on him. Assume, why did the Taz assume that it's not normally Usher to throw something onto him? Even though the Ramah says that Zrika is always Usher, the Mechaber didn't say Zrika was always Usher, so maybe Zrika is not Usher, but throwing water onto him for bathing, that's more intimate than Usher, not to mention the fact that Taz points out that even Zrika, this is not a real kind of Zrika, because you're not pouring the water from your hands onto him, you're pouring the water from a bowl onto him. So maybe that's not really Zrika miyado liyado. So Lamaisa, what did the Taz assumes that it is usur only to pour directly onto him? The Shach says even to bring him or pour him water and then he'll wash himself is still usur. Lamaisa, the not 100% clear how we paskin, although generally we always prefer the Shach to the Taz, but the modern day post-Gemara willing agrees that we're machra like the Shach against the Taz. Therefore, it's usur even to pour water from to bathe. It's not such a big deal nowadays because, like, we have running water. So usually I don't bring someone water to bathe. They go to the sink and turn on the tap. A nafkamina could be, for example, in a weird case, if she, like, fills a bathtub for him to bathe in. You know, so that would be usur, according to the Shach, and much according to the Taz, and we'd be machmir like the Shach. But again, it's a rare case because people usually don't fill bathtubs for other people. And because we mother Shach, one second. Even if he's not so lazy, he can open the tap and fill his own bathtub if he's there. And if he's not there, then it's mutter. So it doesn't have such an afkamina. The only afkamina you could think of. Right. The only afkamina we could think of nowadays when people bring other people water is for ritual purposes. Right? Mayim achronim, maybe mayim rishonim. Some people do it the Pesach Seder. Right? Or even. You ever notice the like very polite people who fill up the washing cup for the next guy in the Tilos Yadayim? So what if she fills up, she didn't have to bring it to him. Not like, you know, it's mutter. So that, would that be also according to the Shach? If he's there, yeah. So Lemaisa, the Shevet Halevi says that this doesn't apply to Netilas Mitzvah because Netilas Mitzvah is not derechiva because that's not for pleasure. If she is giving me water to bathe for pleasure and it's a very sensual kind of thing, bathing, you know, it involves the sense of touch, then that is a harchaka. If she's giving it to ritual purposes of Netilas Yadayim, then the Shevet Halevi says that doesn't apply. Okay, it's not so clear if he's right, but certainly, you know, if all she's doing is filling up the kli, she's not pouring it on him. I wouldn't be makel on pouring on him for Netilas Yadayim. That's going a little far. But just to bring the kli, according to the Taz and Pshat of the Rashba, is mutter anyway to bring a kli. And the Shevet Halevi says even the Shach would be mode here, the Tutsav Mahakel for a mitzvah. And only the Shach and Rabbeinu Yonah Asur, not the Taz and the Rashba. Therefore, I think it's fine that many are noheg that she brings a kli of water for ritual washing, but I wouldn't pour it on him. Jesse.
In the Shach, she's filling it up, not in front of him. She's just bringing it.
Yeah, but bringing it to him and filling it in front of her the same because she's providing it in front of him.
It's when, for example, like in a bath example, like if he's not home, should she be able to turn on the bathroom?
Absolutely. If he's not in the bathroom. If he's not in the bathroom, she could fill up the bathroom. She's not putting the water in front of him. She's putting the water in the bathtub when he's not there, and then she doesn't carry the bathtub and bring it to him. Or does this only apply to water that's the end? And that is a fascinating question. You would, I don't know. I never thought about it. Misvara, you'd think it would be the same thing. Misvara, you'd think it would be the same thing as bringing him water, except that according to the Taz and the Rasha, it's mutter. So there's, you know, more of a tzad l'hakel. But you would think it would be the same thing. It's my intuition. That's a good question. Okay, any other questions before we move on? Zach.
Does it help to add, so the husband would then add in water afterwards?
I don't think so. We haven't found that it does, and I don't think so. Yeah, meaning the Tzil Shadayim. I have to admit, whenever I go to a random like sink here and I find the thing full of Tzil Shadayim water, maybe I'm a very like suspicious, pessimistic, negative person, but I'm always cautious. Maybe the guy before me was nice, he filled it up with the Tzil Shadayim, and then like I want to be mazaka and get in doing me a favor. But maybe it was just like sitting there and some guy washed his hands and then it went from his hands into here. And it's Mayim Shanasu Ben Malach and it's Pasal Tzil Shadayim. So I never know what to do. And I feel like a very terrible person because here's some guy, 90%, some guy tried to do me a favor and now I want to take that zechus away from him. So but maybe 10% chance that it's just an Amma Aretz who was washing his hands and went into the cup and now it's Pasal because Mayim Shanasu Ben Malach. So I'm always worried about that. And I hope the people will forgive me that I spelled it out and retell it.
And then fill up again and wash it. If person was good, then you already did it.
All right. It's too complicated for me. I'm not so smart. Okay. My turn. Yod Gimel. Sif Yod Gimel. Kishem Shasur Lim Zog Lo, Kahu Asur Lim Zog Lo. This is really meant as the segue to the next halacha. But what it's saying is that that's if yud is bidirectional, the same as the wife can't serve the husband can't serve the wife. And in the Aruch HaShulchan he says all of these seifim are bidirectional, even though Masech is needed, says these are the lachos a woman does for her husband. Meaning sociologically, in the days of Chazal, I don't know if husbands ever did them for wives or not. Wives are expected to do them for their husband. It was a social ben al-machadero expectation that by agreeing to get married, she hereby committed herself to do these three malachas for her husband. But in terms of the chiva, and Eben Ha'ezer, probably the wife has to do them for the husband doesn't have to do them for the wife. But in terms of the chiva in Yordania, it's the same chiva when the wife does it for the husband does it for the wife, and therefore when she's a nida, the Aruch HaShulchan says in the Monday post Masum and other Aruchan also write, Yud, Yud Alf, and Yud Beis are all bidirectional. Same issue applies from the husband to the wife to the husband. Maybe most of this simen is bidirectional, except for a few exceptions, like the leftovers and like the sitting on the bed, which only apply in one direction. And we'll see a little later in Tesvav and Tesayin. But continuing, and the rest of this. Not only that, this is the following part. Is only for the husband. Even standing her a cup of wine indirectly is usher. Whether it's a kos shabracha, whether it's a kos you said a bracha, which is a special skula or even kiyum to drink from, or whether it's a cup of wine, you can't send her a specific cup of wine, even through a shliach, even shalom b'fana. Very, very big. However, if she just drinks the leftovers after him, that's no problem, as long as he didn't send it to her. Meaning, let's say my wife's a nida and I make kiddush, and I drink half the kiddush wine, and then I put it down on that little silver saucer, I guess it is. What is it? Tray. On that little silver tray. And then she takes it and drinks the rest of it without me sending it to her, just on her own initiative. I'm predictable, obviously. Then that's not a problem because she's allowed to, remember, the woman's allowed to drink the man's leftovers. It's only a problem if the man sends it to her. If she drinks the leftovers on her own, it's not a problem. And Pisgei Shubi Yadalit, he quotes from a Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who interprets that the Shiltos is machmir about this and says it's properly machmir. Now, it's not clear that's what the Shiltos says. But he thinks that the Shulchan says, and he's machmer, but the minigolim is not to be choshesh for this B'sheilas yabe, it's in the pesach shuvi yadala. The minhag olam is just like it says here in the machaber. When your wife's in need, you're not allowed to send her a cup of wine. However, she is allowed to drink your leftovers on her own initiative. Now, let me just preface with one point. I'm not sure if we fully appreciate this zera of Chazal, what it means to send someone a cup of wine. Apparently, in the days of Chazal, sending someone a cup of wine was like a big, you know, I mean, the post can talk about, describing it as, you're putting your mind on her. Someone's mind is thinking about his wife, even when she's Anita. It doesn't just mean like you know she exists. But somehow there was some special chiba involved in sending a cup of wine, which the Gemara even says harsh things, says anyone, if I send your wife a cup of wine, then I'm chayav misa. Because that would be something, you know, completely, completely inappropriate to think of her in that way, chas v'shalom. So even if you send your own wife a cup of wine, it is against the harchakos. Give me a second. What do you do then about kiddush? If you cannot send your wife a cup of wine in any way, shape, or form, even through an intermediary, meaning even if, you know, your kids are in between and you pass it to your kid and they pass it to your wife, that's still usher. That's the lesser. So the only options are either, you could do what we do in my house. In my house, my wife sits next to me at all meals. If your wife sits next to you, then it's really no problem. Why do you have to send her a cup of wine? Just take the kiddush, drink it, put it right back where it came from. And then she can reach out her arm and take the leftovers, like it says in the Shulchan Aruch, as much as she wants. Like, there's no need to send it to her because it's within her arm's reach anyway. I mean, I can't take it. If I take it off that little silver tray, I can't put it even 1 inch closer to her after I drink, because that would be like sending it to her. But I can put it back in my own place setting, in its own tray, and then she can take it on her own. That's no problem. What if your wife is, your meaning is that your wife is down at the other side of the table? Then obviously it would be very awkward for you to put the kiddush cup down and then she walks around the table and takes from the kiddush wine. So then what you could do is you could send to everyone, because it says miyuchadla. If it's not miyuchadla, it's okay. Meaning, let's say you pass the leftover kiddush cup down the table and everyone takes a little. She's also taking a little, but it's not miyuchadla. It's for everyone to take a little, so then it's okay. Or let's say you have those little cups, fancy little cups, and you fill, there are six people beside you at the table, you fill the six little cups and you pass it around, and one of those little cups gets your wife, but like it's not like a specific one that's for her that has her initials on it. It can be anyone. If it's not miyuchad, that's okay. So basically those are your options. Either don't pass it or let her take it herself, if that would not be awkward, if she sits next to you, or pass it to everyone once. But if you just, let's say you just want her to have it, everyone else doesn't want your germs, only your wife gets to drink your leftover kiddush wine, and she's not sitting next to you, and you have to like pass it to her, you can't. Then you pass it to the first guy in order to pass to her b'miyuchad. That's an isser of sending her a kos shel yayin. So you just have to figure out a different strategy for when she's a nida.
I'm not sure
if
it changes that lot at all, but just in terms of, doesn't it seem like he's saying that if the other people in between drink, then he can drink afterwards? I mean, not that he can just put it down and drink afterwards.
No, I don't see where he says that. And Shosim Haim may also cause Haim is him and his wife. Veshosi'i Abasraya, not him after her, but her after him, then it's okay. That's the way I'm reading it. If the two of them are drinking a cup of wine and she drinks after him because he's not allowed to drink after her, then it's okay.
I just thought I was talking about the Shaliyah.
No, I don't think so. I don't think we're talking about a shaliach. You don't mention shaliach as a noun. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think that's pshat. Okay. If the kos, yeah, I don't mean there's not the presence of a shaliach implicitly here. I mean, he doesn't like, he hadn't discussed the shaliach, someone else as a noun here and now. He would put them as heim. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying I don't think it's pshat.
Two questions. First, will be a problem to pour into another cup and leave that cup down? Meaning you're giving the coats, but pour into another cup that will be for her, but you're not giving it to you, leaving it where you are.
Meaning you drink from the coats and you pour out into another cup for her.
Why is that different than that from the kid cup that pours into the
No, because he's saying it's only for her. Let's say that you're pouring for her.
But I'm not moving any further.
You're pouring for her. I mean, you can't even. I thought you can't pour a cup of wine for her for the cloud because of Mazika's psychosis. Yeah, I think that's a problem. I mean, but if it's just for her, why can't, I mean, she can get your germs, no? Okay, whatever, I'm not giving my medical opinion. And Shear, I don't want the doctors to pass out in their lectures, I'm not giving my medical opinion, Shear. Okay, but I certainly think your wife can have your germs.
So why don't we say like this is just ritual? It's not for Allah. It's not like she's believing.
No, it's right here, kosher bracha. No, you see the wing going. Oh, bathing is bathing for pleasure, not bathing for ritual. Here, the kosher it says bosha kosher bracha means it's even more obvious than kosher bracha. I don't think more obvious, less obvious. But you know, why is the kosher bracha is like very very kosher. You know, it's real. In our society, I don't mean need to not need the men, women, like we don't really send people cups of wine so much. Like it's just like in our society, we don't send anyone a cup of wine. It's only a question of how to do Kiddush. And it's not because we want to send them a cup of wine as much as just because Shulchan Aruch says that it's proper for everyone to drink. So I admit that the application nowadays is a little disconnected from the original social context, in which I assume it would have been intuitive to everyone that sending someone a cup of wine is something very, very, very special and intimate. But okay, nonetheless.
I mean, I don't know much about this, but doesn't like a tish from like the Rebbe like send out like alcohol to people as like I don't know.
You don't need that too.
Ah.
You don't have to see.
I thought you hang up.
Yeah.
No, you don't send it to one.
No, but do they send it? I'm saying.
You're saying is it a special chiba if the Rebbe sends you a cup of mashke? Don't know. All right. Doesn't matter. I mean, Allah knows what Allah is. Liam.
How much is it? Sometimes you throw a minnow, you pass the cup to someone, and it passes all the way down to your wife. Like, what if you turn your cup, that's normally what happens? You have to adopt the measures to avoid that happening, or you put it down, they pass it, even though it's an assumption that will happen.
This gets very subtle. This is an old Balad Chelke Shulchan Aruch. You have this question comes up again and again. What if it's obvious someone will do something, but you didn't tell them to do it? Are you doing it or are you not doing it? You know, Mamish Balad Chelke Shulchan Aruch have this question. You don't. What did it say here? L'shloach la. I think that, I don't know, my intuition is to be machmir. Meaning, if mamish, that's not your minig and some guy does it, then that's obviously fine. That's his own initiative. But if it's a gavua minhag, then I think that's already telling him, that's already sending it. Kind
of narrow the next idea. Is for the next person, she gets it.
What?
I mean, the minhag is for her to get it, not so much to send it there.
I mean, that's not like a very subtle distinction. I'm not smart enough to follow such a subtle distinction.
Rebbe?
Yes?
Can an etza be for avoiding sending her a cup that everyone takes wine before Kiddush and then that's all included in your kosher bracha, or is that also a problem of kind of being miyakid her a cup?
What we do in my house, the husband and wife sit next to each other. You know, it's nice, romantic. I'm a very romantic fellow. You know, I think it's good. The husband and wife sit next to each other. The kids should see that the husband and wife, that the Ava and the Ima, they like spending time together and talking to each other, and you know, don't need to put all the kids in between them so that they avoid talking to each other. I'm saying that's not the only reason people do it. Some people do it because that's what their grandparents did. Some people do it because that's the way the geography works out of, you know, what everyone has to be near. But I like the idea that the guests and the kids should get the idea that the husband and wife enjoy each other's company. I think that's a healthy and yet sneeristic message.
this apply to grape juice? Not for kids.
I think it would apply to grape juice. I think it's a good question because, you know, is grape juice yayin? But since we consider grape juice yayin for everything else, I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Does it apply to grape juice? Maybe solve the problem by using grape juice. Just regular grape juice. It's a good question. I don't know.
They know you're saying the first question, you shouldn't use it then for kiddush.
No, the question, maybe this is only because it's alcoholic, not because it's chashav, but I don't know. Nerolini is, I'm not sure. Not sure. This is the kind of question that, like, you know, only books written in the last 20 years are discussed, but there are like a dozen of them. So I didn't bring any of them here today. I'm sure Mike Horst has a paragraph about this. So let's see what he says. Okay, Mike, good knowledge. These apply both in Nidus and Liban. Okay, Nidus is when she's bleeding and experiencing her period. Liban means afterwards she has to keep Shiva Nikiyan, as we learn in Simkuf Pei Gimel. Those are Liban because she wears white and she has to be clean for them to count. Same call you a smirata, which are the counting of Shiva Nikiyan. The ain't color called Elu being Ram out called Kesem. There's no difference in our chakos between someone who has a Eodor rice and a Kesem, even though Kesem only means Rabbanan. All the Harchakos apply the same. Okay, that first part seems like you shouldn't even need to say it. Because halachically, there's no difference between Yimei Libun and Yimei Nida, meaning. Physically, there's obviously a difference, right? During the main Nida, she is experiencing bleeding. During the main Liban, she's not experiencing any physical phenomenon. However, halachically, it's all exactly the same. It's the exact same halos of Nida and Isser Karis, etc., until she counts Shiva Nikiyan, even after she counts Shiva Nikiyan. It's the exact same halachic status until she goes to Mikvah. So it seems like you shouldn't even need to say this. Not only that, the Ramah says, surprisingly, there's this old minhag in Ashkenaz, which he quotes in Rav Yah, but even goes before the Rav Yah, goes to Rav Yah's grandfather, the Ravan. And I don't know if it goes before that or not, but it goes at least to the Ravan, which is pretty early. Eating with her, even the most chamer kind, eating in the same plate. Is okay, you mean Libun. The thing knowing the Huckle is that Minik Ashkenaz will huckle this from the days of the Ravon in the 1100s, maybe even before, all the way through the 1500s, the days of the Ramah. And the Ram himself is says something very uncommon here. Usually we know the whole Mahalach Ramah is that Minik Ashkenaz is sacrosanct. That, you know, he doesn't care what other Rishonim say, what the Machaber says, etc. Meaning Ashkenaz is always the event that he's correct. Bein l'chomer, bein l'chula. But over here, the yesh l'hachmer, even though it's meaning Ashkenaz for over 400 years to be mekel, nonetheless, he doesn't like it, yesh l'hachmer, because halachli, it makes no sense. Why should there be a difference between Yimei Liban and Yimei Nida? So this is a fascinating question. So I want to ask first on a more surface level and then on a deeper level, what is the Havamina? Not just Havamina, the Minhag Mechalik. What is the Makar to be Mechalik, to be more Mekel Yimei Liban compared to Yimei Nida? I understand if you'll tell me, well, a woman feels more in her period during Yimei Nida than Yimei Liban. That's very nice in feelings, but that should have nothing to do with halachos, because halachically there is no difference whatsoever. So what is the makor? So there are three makoros for this. In minhag, there's the minhag lecholima. There is an ancient minhag. We don't know how far back it went in Ashkenaz. I'm sure if I did some research, I could try to figure out whether it goes before the how far it goes before the Ravon. Does it go to the very beginning of Yados Ashkenaz? I don't know, but the Ravon is pretty far back. So Minag Lecholima. And how about in Shas? Is there a funny kind of source in Shas to Mechalki Melinda and Yimei Liban? The Gemara in Shas, I'll be giving a little story time. Right? Eliyahu, we asked the person, be me Medusa, how did you access? Chas for Shalom, we kept all the Harchakos. We didn't do anything. How about Yimei Liban? So, oh, so libo davar acher. Yeah, we ate and drank and we slept with your basar, but chas v'shalom never thought of doing avera. And it's a little funny, Ravon. It's a little funny. Achelim yashmi mi. Look, I'm not a superstitious kind of fellow, but if there was a Gemara, a guy said I did three achelim v'shasimi v'yashanimi v'kir basar, and the leader says Baruch Hashem that Hashem killed him, I'd be very nervous to do any of those three things. I wouldn't start to take my chances. Ah, yeah, I know that fellow died, but maybe that's just because he was drag racing on a cliff without a seatbelt. And I'd be miserable. So it's a little funny that it sounds like the Rabban and the Rabya were making something which, like Eliyahu, he says you should be killed for. We'll come back to that. Maybe it was all a misunderstanding. But the in Shas, the minhag is the Tana Deve Eliyahu. But it's of course funny because who is Mekel? The Avarian was Mekel who got killed for it. So it's a very silly question. Abed Eliyona, we had a Havni, there would be Mekel. So maybe that shows there's room to be Mekel. So all our shows say no. Eliyona, he was Eliyona. He knew what they did. But this is a difficult, makor because the guy was killed for it. And Eliyona only had, he had Ruach HaKodesh. So he knew what Avarian the person did, but it was an Avera. The third makor potentially is Rishonim. Where did the Rishonim say were more? Some Rishonim say two very big Rishonim, two of the most primary Mefarshim al Hadaf in Shas say that were more Mekel Yimei Liban. Rashi and Ksubas and Rashi and Rebbeinu Chananel Ksubas. I don't know if we have Rebbeinu Chananel printed in our Ksubases, but the Rishonim quote Rebbeinu Chananel. Right? The right, but everyone quotes Rebbeinu Chananel. Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel in Ksubos, Daf Samach Aleph Amad Aleph, they say, remember those heterim to serve a kos, mezigas a kos b'shinoi, right, with the left hand and putting it on the barrel or in the pillow, etc. That was being made libun. Now, why Rashi said that? There's nothing in the Gemara that made him say that. Obviously, Rashi had some sort of mesorah somehow to be more Mekel. So what do they say? They say that it's mutter limzod es hakos v'shinoi rak bimei libon. Now again, none of these are big kulas. Tana d'Eliyahu is chayv misa for. The minhag is a minhag, but no one knows exactly if it's a valid minhag or not. The Rambam didn't like it. The only strong mucker is Rashi. It is a crazy coincidence that Rashi ben Hananel, said the same thing. I mean, they're coming from totally different places. They're Kula was only a Mei Liban. Now again, that's a far cry, right? Because it's not a, this is a Chumar. We say it's Mutter B'Shino all the time. And they say only Mei Liban, but it's at least a hint, Makor L'chalek Ben Yemei Liban L'Yemei Nida. These are the three possible Makoros to be L'chalek. The question is though, what's the Svara L'chalek? What are these Svara L'chalek? Let's say A, B, C. What's the svara l'chalik? Aha, so whose svara is that? The Ravon and the Rav Yah, this minhag. The minhag is because she's closer to being tahora, and therefore you have to sort of be makariv her in order that she will have an incentive to tovel. It's not hergel avera, it's hergel mitzvah. So one svara is, what's the svara? One svara is hergel mitzvah. Is that what you meant, Michael? Hergel mitzvah, it's to encourage tefillah. Therefore, the husband wants to be mekarev for a little, so that she encourages the total and sleep with her husband, which is a mitzvah. Perhaps that one svara. If that's the svara, though, then when would that apply?
Right?
The last day, it makes a lot of sense. Because what's the hair galavera? By the time you go to sleep tonight, she'll have gone to the mikvah. Oh, we wanted to go to the mikvah, so you can carry her to the mikvah by being the chiropractor and saying, go to the mikvah, then we'll be close, and we'll be even closer, etc. That's not such a big mitzvah. That's not such pasta salo. You know, that's pasta, not masala. The pasta already in the bread basket on the table. Okay, that's one svara. But that only explains the Yom HaShvi'i. What would be the svara to explain all 7 days of Shiva Mikiyam?
That she's already done a hefsek.
Who's Kiddush? Is that? Not, oh, that you were held it. No, no. She went in a hefsek and therefore what? And therefore what? Sorry. I cut it off too early. No. So what? She did a hefsek. No, why does that make it?
Possesses tumei anymore.
Okay, but why does that make it more mutter to do her chukos? What? She's closer to being mutter, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you could say that.
Do we think he's going to notice that he was kicked off the Zoom?
Should I tag someone in the share?
I think it makes sense if you can.
Yeah.
To me, it seems like a very confusing thing to do. Like, to total once, get rid of the Tumah D'oraisa, and then to remember that you're still Tummy for all halachic purposes, both Isra Hefter and Tumah V'Tara. You know, but, okay, that's Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, Be Mekedem Tavlu Achar Shivas Yemei Nida D'oraisa. In which case, according to Rabbeinu Tam, this Hefter would only apply Mekedem in the old days, because nowadays no one totals twice, so there'd be no room to be made.
It also wouldn't apply for all Yemei Levana.
Correct. It would only apply for the Yemei Leguna that were more than 7 days after her period. Unless this is a little unclear in Rabbeinu Tam. Here, it's not 100% clear what Rabbeinu Tam held. He may have held a big chumra, which we'll see in Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav, but we'll get there. There are two ways to understand Rabbeinu Tam. One is just stam, you do a tefillah at the end of Doraisa and a tefillah at the end of Dorabana, which is, I admit, a funny thing to understand why they would do. Like to get rid of your Tumah Doraisa. We would think, Adraba, don't do that because then you might be Nichshol and think you're not Tami anymore. Okay. There's another way to explain Rabbeinu Tam, which is that they didn't keep, like nowadays, anyone who's married knows about the 12 days. They kept 14 days. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam had a chumrah. We discussed this. In Yoledis, maybe in Tam had a chumrah that you can't start counting Shiva Mikiyam until you tovel and get rid of the needs of the raisa, which would be a wild chumrah. But if so, then basically the all you may be one would not be days 6 through 12, like for us. It would be days 8 through 14. And then all you may be, you may read Tam hold you couldn't have you may leave one until you tovel from the needs of the raisa, which would be a tremendous chiddush. Tremendous chiddush, because you'd say some sort of, even if you had a lumdus that needed a raisa, so you may need one, but me manashah. If you're a nida, then you don't need Shiva Mikiyam. If you need Shiva Mikiyam, you're not a nida. So sorry and gadol, but we'll see. I wasn't going to mention this yet, but we're going to see. Okay, lamaisa. Hitzer, what does this mean? What does this mean for nowadays? Let's think about it. V, is there any room to be made till nowadays? On the seventh day, there's a story to be made till. Here we go, mitzvah, it's momish, you know, around the corner. And therefore, I guess the woman needed a little incentive to Tova. I don't know if that was only the winter, maybe. But certainly, anyone ever been to, you know, the remix mitzvah, etc.? That was everything was now in those days. So the woman needed a lot of incentive to Tova in the winter. Maybe even the summer, the woman needed a little incentive because, you know, not everyone has such a great relationship. And therefore, but that's only on the seventh day, not even the one. Rabbeinu Tam is a good spur of a hobby to be makel. And what Rabbeinu Tam say, of course, you shouldn't be makel, plus that guy kind of really, oh, but maybe a little, but that wouldn't find out. Basically, by process of elation, this must be the svara aminhat lahakel mentioned in the Ramah. So I can't think of any other svara. Right? It can't be because of double tefillah. We don't do double tefillah. It can't be because of harigul mitzvah, because it's the whole main reason. It must be they just thought that that all the harchakos were only, or at least most of the harchakos, were only for the beginning when it was not so much paspasalvo. But when it was led the last 7 days, have a big paspasalvo, this still is a crazy kula. Because A, Tanavilia was killed for achalim, the ultimate new main reason. And B, like, really? In the middle of Shem Nekiyah, such a big pasta salad, what if she messes up or Shem Nekiyah and has to start again? Right? 7 days is also a long time. It's very, very, very dochuk, which may be why Grandma says that, if you want to use to explain Rashi and the Rach, sure. Yeah, Hector of the left hand, which we hold as mutter all the time, maybe help as mutter when you're halfway there. But you know, which is why Drama says, I just can't justify it. Say the, and with this we'll end this se'if. Say the Shach and the Taz, etc. They say, really, nobody should ever say this minhag. They say it was all this minhag was a misunderstanding of Rabban and Rav Yah. What did the Rabban and Rav Yah say? Ravon v'Rav Yah lefi minhag Ashkenaz. Minhag Ashkenaz. Ravon v'Rav Yah. They have a kula that says the Shach and Taz and the Bach. No, you misunderstood that. No Rishon was ever makel. Again, what you make on something that Elyonim he says you should be killed for it. No Rishon was ever make on Achalini Vishasa Yimi and Achiva Bakar Achas during the Yimi. That was a misunderstanding of the Amoratim and Bnei Ashkenaz. Really, you are on the Rebbe, we're only making on the seventh day. That's not so crazy. We could possibly, we cannot possibly, but it's not so crazy. You know, Tanya Yo wasn't on the seventh day. He was going to have the general Yimi Yimi. So Halach were nice to save the Shach and the Taz. Not only is this a doch of Rabban and Rav Yah that we don't follow, it's not even a Rabban and Rav Yah or any Rishon ever. No Rishon ever held this. It was all a minhag Taos that they misunderstood the Rabban and the Rav Yah. Even the Rabban and the Rav Yah only matter on the seventh day, and we still don't paskin like that. But no one matter the Hoyim Eli. But Halach l'maiksa, it seems pretty much the Bach and the Shach and the Taz are correct. No one matter during May Levon. It's against the story of Eli Yonavi. And they only map to the seventh day, and even that we don't pass them like halacha l'maisa. Tesvav. How about a cholet? In klu cholet, the imlo mishen sham shenu zulasa. If he is sick and he doesn't have anyone to take care of him, he doesn't have a house with a lot of servants, or like all his kids around who want to take care of him. No, it's him and his wife, and she's the one who takes care of him. Muteres l'sham shuv. She can be shamishim even when she's anida if he is sick. Okay, hopefully, Meretz Hashem, we should die, and then we won't be sick. But if so, if the husband is sick, then the wife is shamashem. Rakshi should be yoser shetuchol. She should be nizer as much as she can. Obviously, the lashon nizer as much as he can sounds like you can be make if you have to, but it doesn't say tizahar b'cholikra. But she should try very hard to be nizer. Mir chutzas ponav yadav raglav atzas amita b'fanav. Not to do our chutzas ponav yadav or to make his bed in front of him, to at least be nizar on those two things. Now, of course, you know, this is a very strange two things. Why is it strange two things? You know, it's like a Chirish and Shilta without a Kata. The what happened to Mazik Zakos? So here, there's actually a big machlokas achronin. There are some achronim take a totally different approach, but most achronim follow the Shachir and Sukkot and Yuches, who's quoting the Bach. Who says that? Because in Mazik Zakos, there's never any room to be mako. There are so many heterim that you never need to be mako. After all, you could, and what does the Shach conclude? He says, even the things that was machmer earlier in Seif Yod, Lamaisa, in this case, we don't have to be so we don't have to be so machmer on, meaning all the food and the meziga, you know, and the serving his hand, even if you were mosing in front of him. Just be machmer on the ikur, lukuliyam mazigas hakos, that you shouldn't pour it and serve it with your right hand right in front of him. That's so easy that there's never any need to be makel. That's what the Shach and the Bach say. They say that you know, there's really no, basically mazigas hakos, there's no need to be makel, so we're not makel. It's interesting from the Beis Yosef, it sounds different. From the Truman's edition, but he also sounds different. Says there, Hashelchan says, no, we're just make more make on Zika's coast or Kal. After all, Hachatzas Panagiragimagwa, that's more like washing is a little more intimate. Making the beds are more intimate. A cup of wine is not quite as intimate. Okay, so why Zika's coast is left out is a big machlokas, right? Why, what explains the strange omission of Mazikas Hakos, either because it is totally usher, not because we're chaver, for technical reasons, because it's easy to do in a mutter way. This is the Shach and the Bach. The mashmos of the Trumas HaDeshen seems more like Yerach HaShulchan, because it is more mutter. It is basically totally mutter, let's say, right? Totally mutter, because it's not as much chiba. And this is the Yerach HaShulchan, And I think that's what the Trumas HaDeshen, which this whole discussion comes to Trumas HaDeshen, there is no other rocker, sounds like, because the Rush says the Shulchan Aruch, don't do a chutzpah and ragel, try to avoid a chutzpah and ragel, that's also mita, and says the Trumas HaDeshen, maybe it's Mazikas Hakos that's mutter. He doesn't say like he's way around, but he makes it sound like it's mutter. So this is the Beis Yosef. Okay, halakha l'maisa. I don't know how often it comes off, but we paskin like the Shach and the Bach, since it's easy, just serve with your left hand or something else. So therefore, don't be more make Mazikas Hakos, be more machmer Mazikas Hakos, because it's easy to get out of. Next is more chavar. No one thinks the etza more chavar. Shach and Pas thinks it's technically more chavar, because since there's an easy way out, there's no need to be mekel. And the Aruch HaShulchan says it's the etza more mekel.
Then you might say, this is a case that I'm asking from whose wife is giving birth, and they're considered a chola. Or in general, if you're a chola, you can get someone else to do it if you have to.
So it sounds from this Shulchan Aruch, Tesvav, if you can get someone else to do it, you have to. Now, here's where I don't think that we can, I know all the modern day Sfarim give exact hard and fast rules for exactly what's called you can get someone else, what's called you can't. You know, I think sometimes you need to use your common sense. What does it mean can and can't? Sometimes you physically can, but it's just not practical. Using your common sense, if you can get someone else to do it, then you should get someone else to do it. But if the wife needs to do it, then she can do everything. She can even do atzas amita b'fana v'nechatz b'ani yada rag love. But she should try to avoid those most of all. No, we'll get to that. That'll be a little different in the next session. Okay, now.
Where does embarrassment come
into
play with this one?
Where does embarrassment come to play? You know, I think embarrassment is very subjective. If someone's embarrassed, then it means they can't get someone else to do it. But you don't have to be embarrassed. You know, I think we have to take into account, you know, the reality. In general, it's, you know, my general feeling is one should, you know, minimize being embarrassed about things that are not actually embarrassing.
Outside of Achatz's pun of the other variable and Atas Misa, which you're miser from, so what is Shulchan Aruch adding in terms of
this? Great. Okay. That's the Beis Yosef's question. Because remember, this lashon of the Rosh, you can be Mishamish, just try to avoid these two things. Meaning, you can do other things, but try to avoid these two things. What are the things that are mutter to do, right? What kind of shimush? What's the shimush that's mutter? Not hatzas hamita and harchatzas panav yada v'ragla. Right? Those you should try to avoid if possible. So one of the things that are totally mutter. So here the Beis Yosef has three or four opinions about it, depending if you count sort of things that he's not mashu so much. What's the definition of, right, muteris l'shamshel, right? What is muteris l'shamshel, right? Right, what kind of shimush is mutter? Muteris l'shamshel, what kind of shimush is mutter? So, here the Beis Yosef has three possibilities. What kind of shemesh is mutter? And again, this is different than the Shach and the Bach. Okay, what kind of shemesh is mutter? What were his three possibilities? Maybe mezigas hakos. That's what's mutter, but the other two you should try to avoid. Again, it's like the Rosh Hashanah is more kal. You find that very dull. It's, can't call one thing mutter. Hey, everything's mutter except for these two things. Only one thing is mutter. That's a little difficult. What's another possibility? Another possibility, Tradition brings up. All right, you don't even have to come to the let's say, more general, maybe Hoshata. Ah, Hoshata, passing things. Right, remember, Bein Ashkenaz makes fire and Machra and passing things, right? Since a Rosh was certainly Machra and passing things normally. Many Rishonim did not agree with the school of Rosh, but the Rosh did. Most of the mainstream Rishonim, at least late Rishonim did. Middle slate Rishonim did. Maybe it's Hoshata, right? Or maybe it means Hoshata or Negiya. Again, when I say Negiya, please don't get me wrong. I don't mean moral support. You know, like, oh, you know, holding his hand and hugging him, so they have moral support. Because not that you're not much of moral support, but just those things happen to be an Isser D'oraisa. I was riding the Arias, sick of the Legalis Erba. No, I mean, here, technical Negiya. You know, he's sick, so he needs help getting up, he needs help lying down, he needs help, you know, putting on the medicine, etc. Technical kinds of Negiya. No one is matter, even though I think in the old days they also believe moral support was important. But still, no one's matter that. Here we're talking about Negiya. So maybe it means even Negiya, or maybe she also says a fourth possibility. Mizdinka harchatza vehatsa, if you'll allow me to skip the nouns. The makom shetzarech l'kach. That's what it means. All three malachim are mutter if you're stuck, but you should try to avoid two of them. So we're not sure what's the kind of shimut that's mutter. Is the kind of shimut that's mutter only doing the three malachim if you're stuck, only doing one of the malachos? Which basically one and four end up being the same thing because it's applied. There's two malachos. It's a different way of interpreting the word, the same halacha, because everyone agrees that it's yibedayim malach and hatsa tamit and arkhasa funny other brachos mutter when you have no choice. You just miss her if you can. Or no, we even make one of shata or we even make one of nigiyah. Which is the correct shot?
in the rush.
Which shot do we pass him like in the rush? So I think that's clear from a sifhezayim. Because what is going to sifhezayim? Isha kol of the nida ashal of al liga baki the lasham shul of akiva shkiv lasam. Kol yish omrim, dem ein lo mishin shishan avotu v'kol chen noim tzuchar v'lepah. Basically, the Machaber is saying, no, if the woman is sick, we're more machmir. We'll get to why in a moment. And you can't touch her. Implying that if the man is sick, you can't touch him. So therefore, we paskin, like the most lethal shot here, but the rush says all shemesh, even touching his mother. All shemesh his mother. Even touching. And if he has medical or physical needs. Except you should try to get his brachot zvani on ragvam and tzasa mita befanav. That seems clear from the context, from the contrast to se'if tes zayin. Okay, we'll add one detail later. Okay, so what do we see here? B'makom choli, again, if he has someone else from Yishamakin, and someone else from Yishamakin. If he has no one else from Yishamakin, all the shimushim are mutter, except for try to avoid hatsas, hamita, and harchatsas panayot ragvam, and even those, if you're stuck, you'd be mekel. Now, here comes tes zayin. Right? What if it's this the chiddush between zedek? The rock talked about the man being sick. And the man being sick, there are two tzadim lahakel. What are the two tzadim lahakel? Number one, b'makom choli where matter certainly serum drahanan. And number two, yeah, when the man is sick, then he does not have a taiva to do tashmish. As a matter of fact, depending on what kind of disease he has, it might even be impossible for him to do tashmish. And even if it's possible for him to do tashmish, it might be very hard for him to engage in tashmish, both physically and psychologically. The assumption is the man is marginal tashmish. A, the man needs more physical koach to do tashmish. You know, there's no normal, like, spam disease a woman gets that prevents her from being able to do tashmish. Okay, she might be, you know, in a very weak state, then they only want to be very tired and want to sleep. But there's no disease that prevents the woman physically from doing tashmish. But yeah, the man, if he doesn't have enough koach, he needs more koach to do tashmish. Not to mention that, but psychologically, we assume usually the man initiates his marginal tashmish more than the woman. If the man is sick, he will have less of an incentive. That doesn't mean it's impossible to do tashmish, then it would probably be more mutter. I think it's less likely. So there's two stuff we'll have to A, it's less likely to end up in tashmish because the man is sick, and B, b'makom choli, they're b'nam or mekel. Question is, what if you have one of those sodom without the other? What if the woman is sick? Then you have the cool of the b'makom choli will go for a b'nam, but you don't have the cool they're less likely to engage in tashmish. So if the man is healthy, he's going to want to engage in tashmish, and he'll convince the wife to agree because she doesn't have to be healthy to engage in tashmish. So that is a machlokas mechaber narkot. Says the mechaber ishachola v'inigda based on the Trumas Hadeshen, also about a liga bakadi l'sham shigam lakim l'ashkim l'ashamcha. Negia is usher. Okay, it could be that negia is usher. Maybe hoshata would be mutter. But at least negia would be usher because when we're machmer, because you don't have two tzadim l'hakel. Says the Ramban, no, the Yesh Omer, we pass like the Ramban, it's hard in Paskin, but at least Ashkenazim pass like the Ramban, the Yesh Omer, you don't have someone else, Mutter, Rekol, everything is. Mutter, meaning, basically, he says, the Iker Tzad L'Hakol is the Makom Choli. And therefore, as long as you have Makom Choli, we're Mekel in both directions, and that's our minag, if she's Tricha, Harbe Lekach. Notice there's one slight difference, right? What do you have here? You have here when you have the isha, the ish kola, you have two. But we're seeing both lahakel. A physical siva and a two sibos lahakel. Less likely and more necessary to be mekel. And therefore, we say there's a heter of shimush. But when we have the Isha Chola, then we only have one Sibol HaHakel. So says the Mechaber, Negiah is Aser. The Chokhah is still be Matar. And the Makam Choli is an Akhmiyat of Koshata. But Nigiya is not enough to be Mater. And the Ramah says, nope, Shemot is Mother in Sricha Harvey. The only difference is, because Ramah, I'm a little nervous. It's only a little need. It has to be a big need. But if you really need, then we're Mekel anyway. So the mice that we pass like Ramah, which means that when the husband wife, when the husband is sick or the wife is sick, either way, the Makom Choli alone, even no matter who's sick, the Makom Choli alone is enough to be Mekel. The only difference is that if the wife is sick, we're only Mekel if it's really necessary. The husband is sick, we're Mekel even if it's just a little necessary. Exactly where to draw the line is a little hard to tell. Okay, in the Lechem Asimla, he wants to say maybe how much money should you spend, you know, to hire a, you know, to hire a home health care aide. Maybe if the husband is sick, you don't have to spend money, but his wife is sick, you have to spend money. Okay, even that is not, you know, now it's not always so posh to hire a home health care aide. It's a lot of money, etc. The Lamaisa, what it means is that basically, we're making it either way, but once you try to make more of an effort and go out of your way to find a clever alternative if the wife is sick, and you don't have to go so far to find an alternative if the husband is sick. But the mice and professionals of job were made in both directions.
There is other people in the house. Can you still help her?
So it depends on the name of the Mishnah said. If it's other people in the house, doesn't mean they always want to be established here.
There is someone else available.
So if there is someone else available, in either way, even if it should be
even if it's very much truthful like that. She needs help.
If there's someone else, then you should get someone else to do it. I can kind of use your common sense. I can't get part of best rules here because what's the problem? We all know what the problem is. Forget embarrassment. The problem is usually there's not another person who is as committed and dedicated as the spouse to helping them. So it's not really so much. Usually the spouse is willing to 100% all out to help their spouse who's sick. And the other people, if you nudge them and catch and then they'll do it a little. So you have to use your you have to use your common sense. You know, if you're in the hospital, what if you're in the hospital, they're nurses in the hospital. So again, okay, yeah, it's a different situation. Sometimes whenever you're in a bell, nurse comes, does whatever you want. So you should bring a nurse to come and she should, you know, help the wife or husband, whatever. But, you know, so even if you're in the room, even in America, I'm not a lot of places nowadays. So you have to use your common sense.
Would it be better to get somebody of the opposite gender to help instead of the husband or wife?
That's a great question. Would it be better for someone else of the opposite gender to help instead of the husband or wife doing it? That is a good question. That for these like small things, yes. Let's say the husband in the hospital, there's a female nurse. And the nurse could help him, or the wife could help him, and the nurse is right there. Then I think it's better for the nurse because the Xeris Harkakos were not set on her. Just like we see later on, that in the shach, it's better to send the wife to another doctor and not her husband. Even though in his days, all the doctors were men, right? There are no female doctors.
That's different than nurses like taking care of him anyways. Like, it's not so much of a difference.
Right. So I think, again, that's why I use that example. You have to use your common sense. Obviously, in some cases, that might be called not efshar, etc. You have to use your common sense. Well, I think there's a case where you have to use your common sense to know what's called you have another usable option and what's called you don't. But, you know, assuming that it's just a very, a nurse or something, which is a very posh thing, then I would say that's better. Okay, so we're a little more machbid. We try to be a little more machbid when the wife is sick and the husband is sick, but basically if you have another great option, use the other option. If you don't have another option, then it's mutter. Again, we're not talking here about hugging and emotional support. We're talking here about physical and medicinal treatment. That is okay. Interestingly, one of the big questions that comes up a lot nowadays, which there's a lot of discussion about, is what about shots? Now, there are different kinds of shots, meaning injections. There are all different kinds of injections. Some of them, I'm not even going to start saying because I don't remember. There are all different kinds of shots that you take. Some of them have to be done by a nurse. The ones that have to go to blood vessels, that's like a whole, like you need a chokmah for. Some of them don't have to go to blood vessels. Those any balabas can do. But there's still all different kinds of different parts of the body, exactly different places. Some of them you do yourself. Some of them you need someone else to do for you. What's happened in recent times is, who does shots at home anyway? You know, I don't know if I need the vaccine. I don't do it at home. If someone is a diabetic, then they do their own shots. No one has to, I mean, unless you're bedridden anyway. But I'm saying, the diabetic does their own shots. So you might say to yourself, hopefully, Meretz Hashem, whoever does shots at home, of course you go to a medical professional for that. Unless you're diabetic, then you do it yourself. But when people are doing fertility treatment, they need a lot of hormone shots. It's like it's a whole not so pleasant procedure. They need a lot of hormone shots, and the hormone shots have to be administered by someone else because you can't reach properly yourself. And obviously the hormone shots are tied to the menstrual cycle, right? That's the whole point. And they generally are pretty much all done when she's an Ida. So basically, when she's an Ida, you know, once or twice a day, however, I don't know the exact details. Very often, she's going to need someone to give her regular shots when she's an Ida. And that's just, and that nowadays is, you know, not an uncommon thing. Yeah, you know, okay, it was from the Brachim, they married the kids right away, so they don't realize that a lot of people struggle with infertility nowadays. It's a very common thing, and I'm not saying everyone goes to the point where for 20 years they've been doing all kinds of fancy medical procedures. To get to the point of taking shots, that's not such a fancy schmancy procedure. Many, many people, and me and lots of people, get to that point. So what do you do? I mean, if there's a minute old one about that, it's not a weird case that never happens. So what do? And this becomes a very tricky thing because, you know, to find someone, you know, if once you need a shot, so, okay, maybe you have a neighbor who's a nurse or you have a close friend or whatever, to regularly find someone to do these for you is very hard. And the shots are really, you wouldn't call it very intimate and a lot of chiba and hergel dover that you stick a needle into someone. It's all done for a good purpose, of course. It's all done for a good purpose, but still, it is very, very far from a pleasant experience. In the back of your mind, okay, you know it's all for a good joint cause, but it's very far from a pleasant experience. Therefore, right force rights, and everyone I've seen said, the minute you go, hold on, yeah. Sure, there are other, but then they go all over. Force rights, and everyone else I've seen is that when Michael, the husband, give his wife shots when she is a nida, because it's hard to always get someone else to do it, and it's he doesn't write this, so I'm sure this is what he's thinking. It's a very difficult emotional place to start with, and it's a very difficult situation, and it's very, very far from something that would have a lot of chiba. We consider that chola. It's already a chola of posing. When you're all the hetir of sarche chola, we consider infertility a chola. The nafkamines are much more in help of Shabbos, right? Is if we consider you a chola for Shabbos, right? We matter all amir la'akim for Shabbos. And the answer is ma'isim b'chol yom we are. Ma'isim b'chol yom, we're matter all the amir la'akim for it, we consider it a chola.
In this situation, which let's say he's doing it every day, and one day they're going to go out to dinner to their parents, should they bring the shot back to say one of her parents can do it?
I hope I'm not being too liberal here, but on the other hand, I don't want to be too insensitive. I think it depends on her comfort level. You know, there are different kinds of people. Some people really, they just, you know, really want to minimize the compromises and they're very comfortable and open and et cetera. And if it's easy for her in terms of where she's holding inside, then there's someone else. But my guess is that most people, it's going to just make it very difficult for her. And it's a very difficult situation. The first place emotionally. And so I think they can remind them to go along. Basically, I think in terms of what's Yeshlo and Eilo Mishnei Shanu, you have to, take into account how people feel about this. And especially, in something like this, which, again, is very, far from a pleasant experience. It's hard to imagine. It brings a lot of cure das. On a meta, second, third order level, when it's all for your good. But in the moment, in the very physical sense, it is really the opposite. We've all gotten shots. We know that. Okay, Vika, one more sif.
Revenge?
Yes.
Just a question. I'm not saying it's legitimate, but is this perhaps some of the basis that people use to permit holding a wife's hand during childbirth?
To the best of my knowledge, I think they're going to have to use something in the next sif. So let's go to the next sif, I think. Let's go to the next sif.
Okay, thanks.
Yodzai. In Bailor Rofe, this is the tshuva of the Rabban, also the Mashish Lahadfak. That means to take her pulse. Right? If apparently that was one of the big things doctors did in the old days, they took your pulse. That was probably one of the few things doctors did in those days that actually worked. So if the husband's a doctor, he's not allowed to take her pulse. He's not allowed to take her pulse. Now, why? Let's continue. What the Mechaber doesn't say here, but he discussed with Mishio, is what's the possible chiddush here, even if she's a cholish geish b'sakana. That was the real discussion of the Beis Yosef. This is based on, not directly in on the Shoda Ramban. The Shoda Ramban just sort of didn't explicitly, it basically explicitly said, or I don't remember if it's explicitly or, took for granted that one of the Kuch Nefesh is Mutter and says, no, but if it's not the Kuch Nefesh, then we're not Mekel. Okay, said, look, we're not Mekel and all the serve even the abundance for Chol Sheim Bo Sakana. Implying the Chol Sheim Bo Sakana Pashit Mutter. But what did Beis Yosef say? He says, that gets into a Machlokas Ramban and Rambam. The famous Machlokas Rabban and Rambam, as to whether Kravala Arayos is the Rice of Rabban, if I hug and kiss an Erva, right? Some teenagers do this, right? The teenage girls are Anita and the teenage boys are friendly with them and they hug and kiss them. Is that an issue to Rice or an issue to Rabban? So said the Rambam, says the Rambam, it's an issue to Rice, right? Says the Rambam, very famous Rambam, Hilchos Yerei Bia Perek Yud Aleph, Kol Habaal Ha'Erva Arayos Derech Evarim, Oshech Kibek V'Nishek Derech Tava V'Nana B'Kir Basar, Kibek V'Nishek V'Taiva Nana B'Kir Basar, and he's a local mentor, he's an Isher Malkus, which also makes an Isher Reis of Amisrael Yudav de Gila Reis, Shenemar, etc., Lo Sikru Legalos Erva, Kolom Lo Sikru Ledvar Mavila de Gila Ha Erva. Okay, and then he says, and if you do this, it's Choshen Al Harayos. And then he says, there are other things that are Asad Rabbanan, like winking and flirting and all kinds of other things. But these are Isad Daraisa. It says the Rabban, famously in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he says, nope, that's not what the Pasuk means, Losek Begalas Erev, but really comes out of this, it doesn't start with Rama and Rabban, it starts with Machlokas have the infarge to Gemara and child stuff. You give them, but we're not going to use that now. He says, no, what is the Sikra Legalis Erica? He says, you have to understand biblical Hebrew. And Rama also understood biblical Hebrew, but keep in mind, you might have noticed that Orthodox Judaism is not always built on Pshuta Shel Mikra. So I think the Rama also knows biblical Hebrew. Says the Ramban, in biblical Hebrew, Lo Sikra Legalis Erica means Lo Sigala Erica. It means don't do Bia. And what would the Rambam say? The Rambam would say, I also know biblical Hebrew, but in Judaism, we don't know Judaism, we darshan every word. They could have said mostly Gala, or Balsam said mostly Kibbutz Gala, Erebra, which means that there's no race of Kiruv. And the Rambam doesn't think so. Okay, so the famous Achokas says, Beis Yosef, maybe according to the Rambam, it's only Nisra Bonnet, so it's not your Gal Yavor, but according to the Rambam, it's in Nisra Reisa. So it's a Hare Gal Yavor. And that's where the Rama disagrees. Well, Fina Shakasati, Nogan Heter, and Sri Love the Mishamish Law. I'm not sure what he means by the Fina Shakasavti. He's not the one who wrote if the wife is sick. But the Chaver wrote if the wife is sick. I assume what he means is, according to what I wrote, that. He's the one who wrote if the wife is sick. Sorry, backwards. Okay, no, he's straight. According to what I wrote, that even if the wife is sick, we have a Heter. If she's a chole, she is a sakana, and he's the only doctor, then it's mutter, implying that the mechaber asked even in a chole she is a sakana. And the mechaber definitely, if you read in the Beis Yosef, seem to at least want to be ambiguous and possibly asked even for chole she is a sakana. So let's examine. I took a picture. Thank you. The Machaber has this in the Beis Yosef, this tremendous chumrah. Says the Beis Yosef, big chumrah. What's the big chumrah? Aser l'mashdeish hadfak afilu l'chola. And even though the Shulchan Aruch didn't explicitly write even if she has sakana, but he didn't explicitly write unless she has sakana either. He at the very least gave makom to interpret that he was saying across the board and is there even with sakana. This is based on three assumptions, each of which is controversial, right? Each of which is controversial. Only one of which he gets attacked for right here. Because you only have to attack one of his assumptions to disagree with him. Right, the Rama has to disagree with at least one of his assumptions, could disagree with more. So, what are the three assumptions it is based on? This is based on three shitos. What three shitos does the Machaber have to hold? Number one, this is a famous lundus, which usually people say in yeshivas on the base of Yavamos. What do I mean by that? Okay, no only Rivamas, I see. Because you would for sure heard this lumpus. In the Shult, one second, I printed something out here. Here we are. In the Shult Torah Lashma, right here, takes on the Mechaber and says, Ah, Maharan, Rav Yosef Kairo, and Beis Yosef, Yordes, and Kotzadi, Hey, Kasav, etc., etc. Totally wrong, dead wrong. Why? Because the Mechaber assumes that Nida is Bechal Gilei Arayos. Who said Nida is Bechal Gilei Arayos? If we have time, we go to the Torah, she goes through a whole long list. Is Nida Gilei Arayos or not? On the one hand, tell me on the one hand.
She's a Surah.
A lot of people are Surah, but say better. It's in the same parsha in the Torah with the other Arayos, and therefore it has the same. Isser Kari says the other Arayos, right? So on the one hand, on the other hand, in what ways is Nida different than all the other Arayos? No, my sister's also a Chayim Skila. No, maybe the other Arayos would also have Yichud if it was Paspasalo. The children are Mamzerim, right? And going together with that, what is Oyst Tali Havaha in Shas? I said half the rice aren't Chaim Nisa. Tosin, what kind of a rice? Right? And that's what Tosin says in the meaning of Ramos. There's a Chiv Yibam. Right? If a Yabama falls before someone and she's his sister in law and then she stops being a sister in law, there's still a Tur Yibam. But if she's a Nida and then goes to the Mikvah, there's a Chiv Yibam. Right? There's a Chiv Yibam that goes to Tisa's Kedushin. There's no Mamzerath. Not only that, there's not even a psul zona for a coin, right? If a woman is a Nidan, a single woman is a Nidan, sleeps with her boyfriend, she's no Teres, no Kalan, she's not even a Zona. Gilead-Rias, she's not even a Zona. Maybe it's not Gilead-Rias. And this is a tremendous Nafkamino, right? Is it, there are other Nafkaminos this question as well. So says the Shotor Lishma, Simon Tafzani Dalid, he takes on, I mean, this is a big thing. A fascinating question. This gets into Shakavataria, as the Noda Yehuda discusses this. Is Eid Echad Neman a Nida or not? Obviously, Eid Echad Neman needs a Safrala. Is that big? But why do you need the Xeris Agassi of Safrala? Because it's Gilead Arias, and to teach it, even though it's Noda Shemar. Well, no, for a different reason. Okay, but that brings to the Lumbus and Shotar Lishma. He says another Nafmina. She's not called a Zona. There are two. What's the other Nafmina not being called a Zona? That besides being returned to a Kohen? That Esnan Zona, right? That if someone goes to a prostitute, right, and gives her a sheep, then she's allowed to be mocked the sheep for a carbon. It's not a stanzona. Okay, again, limon da omar, etc., right? But that's the Gemara. Tura, Esron, Kala, Rias, Aser, Chotmi, Esnan, Ishtonida. Okay, at least it's Ishtonida, right? Okay, fine. Ishtonida, she gives her sheep, there's no Esnan, etc. So therefore, says the Shotor Lashma, Nafgamina is, there's no Yahar Gal Yavar. So that's one, number one, that the Beis Yosef holds that Nida is Bechlal Arayos. That works well in Lashon the Rambam. The Rambam says, Nida Arayi Bechlal Kol Harayos. But again, Tosfos in many, many places in Shas seems to lean not that way. And therefore, the Shotor Lashma argues, Simon Tafzani Dalid says, nope, it's not a rayos. It's Yisuri Bia. A lot of things are Yisuri Bia, right? Mamzer and Mitzri and an Edomi and an Amomi and a Moavi and, you know, Besua Be'ulo L'Kohen Gadol and the Grusha L'Kohen Hevia. A lot of things are Yisuri Bia. They're not B'chol Arayos. Right, not Arayos. And it's not Yehor Yel Yavor. And he's not even talking about the Mishnah Tefach. He's talking about even Bia, right? Even Bia of Anita, right? The guy holds a gun to your head and says, ball this Nida, or I'll shoot you. They see also say, Yehar Gal Yavar, and the Shotor Lishma says, no. Says, not Yehar Gal Yavar, not a rice. Okay, that's one assumption. The second assumption of Beis Yosef is that, assume Beis Yosef, that, well, let me add one thing. But B, Harappa, that's an issue of Raisa. No one thinks I'm sorry, Jorban. Except that I'm just writing the Arayos are Bechlau Yehare V'al Yavor. Okay, Taka, that seems to be how we pass it in. I didn't bring the whole Yordaya here. We only have, look at this. Handy dandy Yordaya. I think Taka, that's the way you pass the Mishnah.
That would be
Simon Kufnun Zayin, which is the Simon of Yehorog in Al Yavor. Okay, maybe I'm not going to find it right now. here we are. The Ramban Kufnun Zayin. I knew it was here someplace. The Chol Esra Avodas Kuchavim, what? Aleph. There's only two, and these are short. There's three. Okay, Aleph. Okay, even that is right. Even just a lav, that's what we pass in general in Shulchan Aruch. So I was right. We call you Hargal Yavar. And the Rambam holds a lot. Okay, but that's not so pasha. Does everyone agree that I was right? The Gilei Reis, the Hargal Yavar? No? Okay, so this is a that's not so pashut. I don't know if I broke my list there. Okay, it's a machlokas we've shown him in Sanhedrin. If I was Rayu is Bechlal, you heard about Yavor or not. The I just hope I'm not getting it backwards. Well, I'm in luck today. Mamish, I'm having a shkacha pratis. Okay. And Mashiach. That was worth a try. I was on a roll. Anyway, the here we are. I'm not finding it now. But we'll leave this now. Okay. Anyway, Lamai, so that's the second assumption. It was right. Who is Yehari Bel Yavor? What's his third assumption? This is the big controversial one. What's his third assumption? Is that exactly that? Nigia is Bechlal Ostikrabu Megalos Erva. After all, he's not hugging a kiss, just doing Misha Fatbah. Nigia is Bechlal Ostikrabu Megalos Erva. Who takes him to task for that? Jarabban? Stop!
Nigia is Bechlal Ostikrabu.
I'm sorry, sir. Okay. You're right. I apologize. Yes. That Nigia is Bechlal, the Rambam's Chiddush, single Las Erba. And that's where the Shach says, ridiculous. Of course, the Beis Yosef is wrong and the Rambam is right. What does he say here? He says here, he quotes the etc. And then he says, that's crazy. Look at the Rambam. What did the Rambam say? Jesus, that came out of the Beis Yosef. We'll try to defend it. The Rambam says, listen, Kalabala Erba Menarais Derech Yivar, via Derech Yivar. Okay, that's clearly. Very serious. Oh, shechivik v'nishik, hugged and kissed. There's taiva with taiva. Doesn't say it has to be hugging and kissing with taiva. The nana v'kir basar is nana by the closeness of the flesh. How is alokim in a Torah? That sounds only like very sexual acts that are not real. Really, medical treatment? So says the shach. That's crazy. And he said, what's the proof? Widespread minhag that the Jewish doctors take the pulse of women, even married women, even goyish women, etc. No one says boo. Everyone knows the doctors treat. Again, those days, doctors don't get. And the doctors treat women and they touch the women. Even in this particular example here of Mishas HaDafak. And therefore, or Hadofek, how do you say it nowadays? Dofek? Yeah, Mishas Hadofek. So the therefore Pasha that it's Mutter. Oh, what about the Rambam? No, Pasha says he'll say it's wrong. But Shask is derisive. The notes derisive is not Israel. Israel is only some derisive. I assume Rabbah. Pasha knows Shask is Israel because I was writing is hugging and kissing, meaning, according to Mishas Yosef, I'm willing to take the first two assumptions. If a guy holds a gun to it and says, hug and kiss this, need this Isha neither, or I'll shoot you, you have to get shots. Because maybe you need it if really rise. And maybe I was right to Gilead Arias is Yehargal Yavar. According to the Rambam, hugging and kissing, I was right to Gilead Arias. What? That's medical treatment. Medical treatment is innocent. The doctors treat women. That's the Shach's kind that logically he seems very correct, and he has a proof from Maisim Choyom, from Minig Pashat. So he seems to have the upper hand. The question is, how do you defend the Beis Yosef? I mean, first of all, we Paskin like the not lucky enough. What's the Beis Yosef thinking? Here is where the Shach says, let's give ourselves. Says the Shach. Says the Shach. Only Chibuk Venisha. Even Chibuk Venisha, not all Chibuk Venisha, the Rambam says. Only Chibuk Venisha that's there. Taiva Nedanikir Basar. Let's say someone hugs and kisses their mother. That's not also Daraisa, or even Darabanan, or even at all. Why? Because that's not their Taiva Nedanikir Basar. Only hugging and kissing some women. We assume they're type and enemy fear of us. Wow, the whole discussion of which women are well, like which women are the other way, obviously some women in the world are their type and enemy cure busser. Only Chibuk Venisha is usher to Araisa. Baharaya Mais Machayom. Okay, what is the how do we defend the Beis Yosef here? Give me a second. How do we defend the Beis Yosef? Anyone? I mean, Beis Yosef has no. We paskin like the Shach. Okay, very clearly, we paskin like the Shach. We do not paskin like Beis Yosef. We paskin like the Shach. I think Sfardim also paskin like the Shach here, because even Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch, he wasn't reforged about it. But what was Beis Yosef thinking? So there are two ways to understand the Beis Yosef. The Beis Shmuel, right? The Pesach Shuvah and Tezayin says, see this interesting Beis Shmuel. So the Beis Shmuel at the beginning of the Kaf Rebbe Ezer says, the cost of the tshuva, even if it's not for tshuva at all, it's very technical. It's really the Rama with the right saucer. And the high class, because of it, you also know there, so some come study, hey, the sheep is a Rama, Mashach, he's a good one, the I'm the Sukkot on head, and Thomas, the Altamini, Mark, or you get there. After all, we all know this, right? We went to my North West high schools, they taught us this 100 times. Hopefully it helped for some people. That, right, to the case, the guy was lovesick for the woman. And the doctor said he was going to die if he didn't sleep with her. So the, you should take real medicine very seriously. No one's really going to die if they don't sleep with a woman. So the rabbi said, also, the doctor says, well, he has to do this, he has to do that. Let me just talk to her from behind the machitza, right, before I get there. The rabbi said, even that is your heart of all yam. And I'm only to promise you he didn't die. But that's not the point. The point is the Rambam Paskin is talking Yehar Bel Yavor. So what do we see here? That even talking that Korea again is Yehar Bel Yavor, and therefore everything's Yehar Bel Yavor. So what does the Beis Yosef hold? How does Beis Yosef respond? So what does Beis Yosef think? Says the Beis Yosef, there are two pshatim. Says the Beis Shmuel, I don't know if it's Ezer, because Beis Shmuel is only on Ebenezer. He says that according to, he says that Afilu Shalom the derech chiba is usher midoraisa. What's he going to say about the mice and b'chol yom and the doctors of the women? I don't know, maybe his country doctors didn't treat women. I don't know. This would be a very, very big, this would be a very big chumrit. Is there doraisa, even shalom with derech chiba? And it's a yehar gal yavur according to the Rambam.
This would be a tremendous homer, according to the Rambam, right? If the fireman goes into the burning building and there's a woman there, he can't carry her out of the building.
That's what it sounds crazy. I don't mean just it sounds crazy because, like, to us it sounds crazy. It sounds crazy because it's so rachel from the Lash of the Rambam. I mean, it's all based on the Rambam. I read the Lash of the Rambam.
That Gemara is still talking about Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, that's what I understand. That Gemara, what is it? It's more than Eretz Yisrael, but that Gemara is talking about Mamish, the guy that's a substitute for Bia, and he has the biggest Baal in the world. How many Baal Taiva do you have to use? The doctor said you're going to die if you don't build your Taiva. That was worse than any hugging and kissing in the world. Okay, and then he goes on, but it's very strange. It's very, again, if it was not the Beishmol, if it was your, if it was your brother-in-law, I would just say he's an Amma Arts and doesn't know how to read the Rama. Obviously the Beishmol knew something, but can't figure out what he was thinking. Lemaisa, is there a better way to defend the Beis Yosef? What is it? Good. What does the Torah of Shlomim say? And why? What's the case? Etc. It says Shach Yisig Al Yod. This is the law in Torah Shlomim Tesvav. Shach Yisig Al Yosef, etc. etc. Im Kain Afshar the Asur Lemashish La Dofek the Karv Hadover Lovely Day Iser the Oraisa. Because taking the pulse, some of the Echidim want to suggest maybe in those days they didn't take the pulse on the wrist, they took the pulse on your heart, and that was more intimate, etc. He says it's very easy to get to an Isser D'Oraisa of Mamish, you have to have a taiva of leaving your hand on a woman for a long time. But even so, what are the Maisim Kol Yom? Right? What are the Maisim Kol Yom? What do you do with the minute Pashut? But the Torah Shlomo says, no problem. I can really defend the Beis Yosef against the Shach. Again, we still don't pass him like him. But at least he can have a defense. He says, no, Yeshu Yishloch, they don't need a Shlomo Gassel. He says, there's a reason this war of Kofos and Eshtonida. Because, hopefully people have good marriages. And they're not such Bali type or whatever. So if the doctor is not treating a Stam woman from the street, so he'll control himself and he'll know, this woman, if I do this woman, I mess with this woman, and he will do it very professionally. But if it's his own life, it's very hard to draw the line between the professional and the personal. And since it's Libo Gaspar, therefore, it's a strong possibility, a rogue, maybe even possibility, that he'll do it Derech Taiva. And again, he wouldn't say Sidney Dibont or even doing Derech Taiva, but Mitzvah just Hadofek, which is already very close to the, therefore, says the Torah of Shlomim, Lemaisa, I think you have to say like Torah of Shlomim. It's just that, otherwise it's very dachuk. He says, no, Mishos Hadofek, Ishton, Uda, Karov, Lovo, Lide, Taiva. Okay, that's not so crazy. It had to do with the Minhag posture. That's talking about other women are not Libo Gaspa, but Ishto Nida, because of Libo Gaspa, you know what I mean? He sleeps with this woman, 100 times, and now you expect him to go like this and keep his hand there for a minute and not do it there. That we assume he'll do there. It's a stretch, but isn't that crazy? I think that's the easier shot in basic.
Even if it's called Jesus, I'd say, because it's Carl.
I don't know what he means by curve. If curve means 90%, then yes. Okay, and I'm not saying we posture like him.
What does that mean? That Lemaisa is also that his wife dies?
What?
Was that?
I don't know. Keep in mind, even the Beis Yosef, he didn't explicitly put in the Shulchan Aruch, even if there's Taklami. He left it ambiguous, right? Meaning, because after all, there's also a whole lot of Ramban, right? So even the Beis Yosef, I'm not saying would Mamish have passed in that. But at least theoretically, Paskin then at least gave an impression of that in the Shulchan Aruch, right? And what does he mean to Mamish do? I don't know. Theoretically, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, both is very Beis Yosef or Dachuk. We don't like either has very Beis Yosef. We all like the Shah. Both is very Beis Yosef or Dachuk. I think Dozer Shlom is less Dachuk than the Beishmol.
And Sephardim, like, if, let's say a husband would have to do CPR on a woman.
No. Sephardim are not machmir, like the, again, even the Shulchan Aruch is ambiguous, right? Anyway, halakha lomayis mivatzel like the shach, but it's good to know where the Beis Yosef is coming from and all the, I mean, there's a ton of assumptions. Keep in mind, it's really four assumptions. It's also like the Rambam against the Rambam, right? The reason I said three assumptions, one of his assumptions, he explicates, he says, there's the only two looking the Rambam and not the Rambam. But then he's making another three assumptions also, each of which you could disagree with. The shach picks the weakest link to disagree with, because here he's attributing something to Rambam, which seems to get the lush of the Rambam.
What if something has like two, like an action which you're not doing the archetypal, but also like let's say there's a woman who needs CPR, so like a man is blowing into her mouth, but like so you're trying to save a woman's life, but there's you're also
So what do you do if there's a chash of taiva? So I think the assumption is that, I mean, that might be part of this machlokin. Maybe it would be small, really meant to, since it's always a chash of taiva, it's called their taiva. And we pass in even a chash of taiva to try to do without taiva. Okay. Now, luckily, Mike said, let me just point one thing out, that in the Ramah, there is a slight difference, which a lot of the Akronim do not properly pick up on. The Ramah says, if the wife's sick and she needs it a lot, you can use shami for the deal. But, says the Ramah, Mishas HaDofek is only Fish B'Sakana. Somehow, Mishas HaDofek seems to be more chomer than other things. Why is Mishas HaDofek? Because after all, for Ein B'Sakana, he didn't allow Mishas HaDofek. That's the diok, right? So what's the diok in the Ramah? Again, the Machaber, you know the Diuk Mocharach. He's very ambiguous. Is that Sharnagia mutter for a chola she'ein basakana, but Mishosh Hadofek mutter rak in yesh basakana. Here, the Badei Shulchan is a paragraph where he tried to figure out why that's true. It's not 100% clear exactly, like, why is this different than anything else? What?
According to Shoshana, it makes sense, because then you could say that this is...
Yeah, which basically quotes from Sefer Beis Yosef. He said, other negiyas are like momentary things where you're busy doing something. And therefore, the chash of taiva is more far out. The mishas hadofek, when you just have to be still for a long time and focus on her... Therefore, that's already closer to a derech taiva, and maybe that's why we were more machmir. And in terms of the shlomos, I think also the Beis Yosef is only machmir mishpat dofek, not quite other things. Although the Beis Yosef, not 1,000,000% clear. So the hard, the pshat is because you're not doing anything, and it's for a long time, and you're focusing on her to count the pulse. So maybe that is more of a pshat of boli de taiva than just picking her up and putting her down. Okay. The one last thing I want to discuss, which is fascinating, is not necessarily relevant to here, is what about we passing like the shach? Only chiva kanisha is up to daraisa. I don't mean only chiva kanisha. I mean only chiva kanisha and similar things, right? Meaning, I'm sure you know one could think of other things which are very much there, taiva, etc. But only chiva kanisha, etc. Not innocent, professional kind of touching. Vaharaya, men and posture, the doctors always treat people. Here it is an interesting machlokas, achronim. Forget about Doraisa. What about Midrabanan? An Ether Drabanan in Nigia Bali Chiba Vitaiva. So, here, it depends which kind of person. Which kind of woman, for sure, did this year above Nagia, even without any taiva? Ishtonida, right? Ishtonida Pasha. That is Asher Midrabanan. That's the very beginning. What do you think about people that's Mekhtana, right? The question is, what about other women? Other women are not as chomer as Ishtonida. Right? Because it's not legal gaspa. What about other women? So from the shach, what would you think? That since the minute pashtut is what? that the doctors treat other women that shows that most Jeff includes from this and a long tumor of most Jeff. Anyone remember what the tumor most was about? No, going on the subway. Anyone in New York is here? No, it's like on the subway during rush hour. Right? Your mom is squished like sardines. As a matter of fact, I've eaten sardines, and I think you're squished more than sardines. Your mom is being in halicha the subway ube buses. The rush hour. Mother as lachas. Can you take the subway in rush hour when you're going to be squeezed against women? So, again, I think it's obvious that Rav Moshe would say before he gets to the halacha that, you know, if you have a choice of two subways, one of them you're going to be squeezed against all the women, the other one you're going to be us, then clearly it's better to not be squished against the women. Okay, but that's not the issue. You have to go to work during rush hour. Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva in Toshkin Chaf. Evan Ezra Chalik Basim in Yodalit, 1916. This is before we all got so from. Obviously, nowadays, someone right, so just don't go to work and have bitachon. But back in 1960, it was the days of Rav Moshe, and we were, you know, we're not so from yet. So you have to go to work. So what did you do? So Rav Moshe writes, he sends him a four stock. We are in the next cost of the base, you see? We hold like the shock. The shock says, head to gomer, head to gomer. Obviously, you're not supposed to argue against the women, but on the subway, being squished to the subway is like a doctor. It's a tightman, super net into your busar. You're just squishing the subway, it's just annoying. And therefore, he says, head to gomer, there's no Isidore Raisa, there's not even Isidore Abanan, except for Ishto Nida to the Muchach Meshach. Okay. That's what he says very, very clearly. He says, someplace, very clear. Okay, that is exceedingly clear. That's the Shuba Rogi said, okay, what if the guy says, I'm going to have a tie, I hear her in, pressed up against all these women, etc. So then he says, well, if you're afraid of her in, then you shouldn't take the subway. What if you have to do that to work in your job? So he says, well, then you should just really, really be mischazik, think about Dibre Torah, and the Torah will save you from the women, etc. But he says, he goes on. He adds at the end that you should really try not to make the solution that you quit your job and don't go to work, because not working is very bad for you spiritually. Not because you don't have money, just because the Mishnah says it very jokes. Anyway, the Mitzvah says for Moshe, Peter Gomer, because the Shach. Not everyone agrees with this.
Shach's on a roof.
What?
Shach is when a doctor helps you sick.
So the State Chemed says, if you want to look up the State Chemed, it is in Mareches Chosan Vekala Vechopa Os Yudbeis. Said that they haven't known the name of the Rabbanon. It's just mutter for the Makam Kholi, and that's why the doctors can do it. Now, Rav Moshe also thought of that. Rav Moshe said, hey, I have a whole paragraph. Yeah, I'm not going to repeat it all because Michael's already laughing at me. Rav Moshe says, he had the hobby says, if Rav Moshe doesn't know state habits, he doesn't read all the Akronim. He says, if you'll say, no, it's only Heter for Holy, he proves that it doesn't make sense to say it's Asher Abonin for Holy, it must be Motel Gavri. He basically says, if it was Asher Abonin, this kind of Asher Abonin, they wouldn't amount to for Holy, so it must be Heter Gavri. Okay, you can go back and forth forever. But basically, says the Igros Moshe and many other Akronim, if you look at Otzar Poskim, in Eben Ezra Simon Chaf about Krivel Arayis, he was now many a friend to say this. The Shukne Yeshua, which is not the same person as the Chidushit Neish of Shas, the Bate Tehuna, etc., who all say that that it's Mutter. He says Mutter Legamre, says the Safe Heaven. Arthur. And it's only a special hat, Durban Buckham Tzorech. Okay, apparently he thinks this is a very weak kind of Issa Durbana. And this weak kind of Issa Durbana was Tzorech before they were Mutter. Okay, it's not clear if they're Issa Tzorech. Usser. Mutter lit Tzorech Rufua. Okay, exactly what their standards are. Yeah, I mean, this kind of cola, that kind of cola. There is an in-between shita as well. Agav, someone wrote it to our Moshe. According to you, what should be Mutter? Shaking hands, which you yourself wrote in Eben Ezer, Chelek, Aleph Siman Nun Vav, or something, is also to shake hands. And, or he wrote that. He thinks, like, what are both right about shaking hands? Wrote, and shaking hands, he sees a lot of very firm people shake hands with women. And he says, it could be that they think, based on my svara, that it's not there, even if a tiny bit it's mutter. However, the mice, so we shouldn't be so much on this, because shaking hands is already so friendly that maybe it's really a way of connecting with someone pressing the flesh and you feel the physical, you enjoy the physical closeness. Yeah, he was a masho, right? If I'd need a new patient and do a medical procedure on him, I wouldn't necessarily feel a sort of physical bond. If I shake someone's hand, give them a nice handshake, I already feel a sort of closeness there. All right. For most of his coach thinks that it could be, even according to him, shaking hands might still be also for him to say, kind of question shaking hands also, not necessary for a fool. Halacha l'maisa, it's a big machlokas. The most famous makel on shaking hands is Rav Chaim Berlin, who is a big yeshiva in Brooklyn named after him. Right? Rav Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, named after an actual person, Rav Chaim Berlin, the son of the Netziv. The half brother of Rav Meir Bar Ilan, who is very venerated in some circles, but maybe not the same circles as Judas Chaim Berlin. anyway, Rav Chaim Berlin, he writes that Rav Chaim Berlin writes that not only is it mutter shake hands with women, but not there are people with high, he says also not to shake hands with women. Because the Chilul Hashem, because then they think that from Titus is about not having Derek Harris. And obviously, you shouldn't say you can't do the from women. They know these answers. We're talking about the outside world. Says, you know, want change your mind? I'm on Yadva. And therefore, it's a Chilul Hashem to not shake hands with women, to then insult them. And they think that from Jews are obnoxious and don't respect people. So he says the opposite. Okay, there's a lot of shubas about this. There's a shub. What?
Where's that shub?
Rav Chaim Berlin. It's in Google it, you'll find it. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. Some guy, you know how there are these people who have a bone to pick with everyone? Some guy like blogged once, I don't remember who, but I hope it's not like any of your brothers or anything. Blog once said they reprinted Rav Chaim Berlin's safer and they left this out to the Haredi censorship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then like 2 weeks later, he blogged. I actually like read through to the end and they didn't leave it out. So definitely everything you read on the internet. Anyway, kids are kind of like, I don't remember the Myron Malcolm, but if you can't find it, I'll find it for you. There's a tshuva of the Gomer Shlomo Karlbach, who was from the same family, but only coincidence to the American Shlomo Karlbach, who wrote, he says, when he learned in Lithuania and then went to become a rabbi in Germany, and one of his old friends from Lithuania wrote him a letter saying, I heard you shake hands with women. How can you do that? You're so miscalculated in Germany. What's shot? You know, here in Lithuania, we never dream of doing such things. And he wrote a Jew of that. He said, with all due respect, first of all, I obviously first came, I said, no way am I going to shake hands with women. Chas v'shalom. I'm not so modernish. And I realized that, like, it didn't work here. It doesn't work that way. You have to shake hands with women. And then he wrote back and he says, and also, you told me about Lithuania? He says, I understand you guys. It's a mafurish halakha in Shas that your wife has to cover your hair. And none of the rabbis in Lithuania cover their hair. And so, for a shock, that you're allowed to shake hands with women, because he says, if it's not there, even with it's mutter. So, you guys, you osser that which is mutter, shaking hands, and you're mutter that which is osser, walking around bareheaded in the street. We in Germany, you never saw a firm woman without a shaitel. And we shake hands, so we mutter what's mutter and osser what's osser. Okay, you might say we should ask her what's usher and what's mutter, sure, but at least it's better than you guys. Okay, interesting. Lemaisa, hello, Lemaisa. It's a big shayla in the business world, not in the firm world. L'chafila, we don't shake hands with each other, but in the business world, this is the big shayla. There are some l'kan l'kan, Rav Moshe's machmir. The Rav Chaim Berlin is Mako, and even more than Mako. Halacha l'maisa, I'm not in the business world. I'm a rabbi. But my Masorah from Rabbi Willig is that to be Yotzei the Rav Chaim Berlin and to be Yotzei the Rav Moshe is that if a woman sticks out her hand to you, if the woman doesn't stick out her hand to you, then Shalom Yisrael. If a woman sticks out her hand to you, either you're very clever. And they say about certain gedolim in the old days that they're very clever. Whenever they would meet a secular woman for political purposes, they would always make sure to have packages in all their hands, just to avoid this situation. But Rabbi Willig says, if a woman sticks out her hand to you, you give her a dead fish handshake, and that way you have no chash of taiva v'chiva, because you don't feel close when you're doing it, but she's not insulted. She doesn't feel close to you. She feels like you're not so close because you didn't give her a firm handshake. But she doesn't feel insulted. And therefore, you're guilty of everything. Even that, v'shastacha. Okay, I think that's the proper minhag.
Would wearing gloves or anything?
It would do something, but it wouldn't be a heteronormer. I mean, also, nowadays, it's not makovel to wear gloves in normal business circumstances. That was 100 years ago. But I'll mention that in a second. Anyway, yes. Thank you. Okay, simin what again? Kuflamet hey, sounds right. And the nishmas chayim chayim sounds familiar. Just I'll tell you a story that happened once. I was scholar in residence in a whole YU thing in a out of town shul where the people were at different levels. The baal batim were at different levels of orthodoxy. Ranging from being regular from baal batim to attending Orthodox shul. And there was a whole affair and the whole kiddush and everything. And some woman stuck out her hand to me. Not one of the from women who could have lived in Teaneck. One of the non-Shomer Shabbos women didn't understand all these things about Orthodox rabbis and stuck out her hand to me. So I remember it was stuck and I gave her a dead fish handshake and I forgot all about it. And then I got home and the rabbi of the shul says, "Whoa, that was close." He says, "I was so nervous. And that woman stuck out her hand to you. I saw in the eyes what 20 Balabatim who were waiting to fight against YU shift to the right, who were ready to pounce. And they were so disappointed in the end." There's a lot to be said about whether really the Dean of Kiddush Hashem required giving in to everyone with an agenda. The answer is no. But nonetheless, I think that's a good compromise. And I think even Rav Moshe, you'd be Yotzi Rav Moshe. I never asked Rav Moshe. Maybe even be Yotzi Rav Moshe. It's hard to say to Chash Shiva and Taiva if you don't give a normal handshake. Okay, even those in the business world who are some are making more, I think one should still be Machmer or at least give a very partial and non-firm handshake. I'd be very reluctant to be making to for anyone to take hands with the woman the same way they shake hands with the men, everything yishlayim. There are those people. I'll say you can explain to people. All right, I tried that once. It didn't succeed as well as I thought. Anyway, that's as far as shaking hands. Two things I want to mention, and then we'll stop at 4 o'clock. One, someone asked about wearing gloves. Some of the Yoni Kram. Said the Hifnei Tshuva Yud Zayin. I am the same from the park. I am to cut in Samach Alo Shekosov Shara Morim Shahor Vekidnidom Zela Niach Beged Ala Dofek Vazmortal Bala Rofin Mashadov Vilosa Beged Amafse. To put a Beged Amafse, meaning not skin to skin, but through a Beged, that would be called wearing gloves also, right? The post give right that this is a general mahala. Whenever one has to compromise for health reasons, if possible, one should always do it through clothing or with a glove, if possible. you know, you have to use your judgment. It's possible, it's possible, it's not, not. But in general, it's not, it's never makes some heterogoverly katsuba to touch a woman you're not supposed to touch through a glove or under a piece of clothing, but it makes it more kal, because the Rambam talks about nana b'kir basar, and maybe it's not both kir basar, and we learned that with gimel, kir basar means without intervening kadim. So therefore, it's always better to wear gloves. Even all these, even pesvav, pesayim, yitzayim, the post can assume it's always better to either touch the clothing, the clothed parts of the body, or to wear gloves, if possible. That's a very important ha'ara. And the last ha'ara, the Ramah, and the Ramah, ayim barachayim sim v'ches, and mojol, and needly confidence, and knesseless palel. Once upon a time, the minhag was, still this minhag in some places, that a woman, once upon a time, the minhag was a woman when she was a nida, didn't say Shem Hashem or any brachos or tefillos because it was a bizayim to Hashem. And then Minhag didn't go to shul. That's already in Orach Chaim Siman Pei Ches. And even nowadays, many women have the minhag that they don't look at the Torah during Hanukkah. Okay, that could be for mystical reasons or for covered reasons. All of these things, there were only nohag during the Meimida, not in Meimibun. Only when they were bleeding, not when they were counting Shem Nekiyim. Why? The Svarah very partial view on how lucky things Mr. Nida. These are kvod kamayim things. And when the old days, when a woman was bleeding the knee, that was disgusting. Right? Because there were no modern hygiene products or anything. There was just blood all over it. It was very gross. And therefore, to go to shul in a state like that was considered not kvod kamayim, etc. And therefore, they were nimna. Nowadays, the minhag in most circles is that the women are not nimna from anything while they're nida, because it's not a problem of lack of kvod kamayim, because nowadays we have better technology and with our hygiene. Okay, well, it might not feel quite as nice when she's a nida as when she's not, but it's not, you know, it's not disgusting. And therefore, nowadays, we're not nohag, because we have a different mitzvah, we're not knowing these chumras. In the, what? Okay, some people say that the reason why you can't let women dance to the Torah and Simchas Torah is because they might be nida, and it's lona into Eskuz Anida, who's not, and Anida can't hold the Sefer Torah. It's a force of septa need to hold the Sefer Torah. I'm so not getting into this. Even but we're really before a class. Lanius Daiti, I don't think that's a reason to asser. Yeah, nowadays, we're not really knowing DC Surim. I don't think that's a reason to asser women dance to the Torah Simchas Torah. I think what the and I think most of the people who use this reason to asser women dance with the Sefer Torah Simchas Torah, that's not their real reason. That's like an excuse. And their real reason is more hashkafic. And okay, like it's my wife doesn't answer the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah. I identify with the hashgachic reasons to not prefer that. But A, I'm not getting into it, and B, no, I'll be honest, and I'll just say that we're not machbid about the minhag of Sefer Torah Nida nowadays because of our modern hygiene, and it's really an issue of, you know, the big complicated hashgachic sugya of gender and Judaism in the modern world. Which is very complex and subtle, and we're not going to paskin right now. Agav, something which is purely alpisod, the Piskei Tshuva in Yud Tes quotes the Sefer Chamud Daniel, who says women don't go to the cemetery when they're in nida. That is purely alpisod, because some people say, some Chassidim say women should never go to the cemetery. That's because of Iskabras Chadinim, and what comes from din, and the cemetery is din, and the Dam Nida is din, etc. And therefore, alpisod, the Chamud Daniel had a minhag that women didn't go to the cemetery when they were in nida. I think that in some communities, the minhag is that women never go to the cemetery. But I think that in our communities, we do not keep this minhag. And women go to
brothers.
What?
They should go to front brothers.
To the cemetery?
For
Davin. Oh, he talked about Davin. The Davin is locked off. It's really just go to the cemetery. The Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to daven in the cemetery as long as you daven to Hashem. Okay, now it's in Dalmas, graves, etc. That's not our topic. Now, I'm not against davening in the cemetery as long as you daven to Hashem. Even good Litvak says it's even not only mutter, but it's a minig Yisrael, and it goes all the way back to Kalei to daven to Hashem and a cemetery. So it's good enough for Kalei, it's good enough for us. But the Mishnah Berurah says one should daven to Hashem. Anyway, Lamaisa, I think that the Daniel had this minhag. I don't think that's the minhag all in our circles nowadays. I think we're not acting on that.
Pregnant women
is a big Indian. There seems to be some minhag in the last generation that pregnant women don't go to cemeteries. It's not found in any books, you know, written before I was born. But since then, it's found in a lot of books. All right. I wonder why the women have a minhag not to go to the cemetery when they're pregnant, because I can't think of any good reason. And they think of many, many different far-fetched reasons why women don't go to the cemetery. Basically, al pi nigla, you're going to have to think of very far-fetched reasons why women don't go to the cemetery when they're pregnant. Maybe they'll see the people who died and they'll get so distraught that they'll have a nervous breakdown and miscarry. Probably a shash racho, because maybe they'll want to, Mashiach will come and they'll want to give birth to their kid in a cave so he can do paraduma. Okay, it's also seems to be a bit of a shash racho. All of these are in the post-game. If you laugh so much, I'm not going to tell you who. But the chat reason probably seems to be that the mucker is al pisod, even though it's funny, many, many post-game write about it and they don't say this. It could be the al pisod, you know, we're always very machmer al pisod with pregnant women because the pregnancy is so, you know, is so sensitive that chas v'shalom, a woman can miscarry, anyone can die. But it's more sensitive, a woman can miscarry, she's not even alive yet. Right, not even born yet, and therefore we're worried about all kinds of kofos atoma. So the simple thought is that it's it seems to be, even though this is not, maybe I only read the Rutgers poskim, the simple shot is the minhag al pisod. That minhag seems to be more common nowadays. I've seen a lot of people mock it on the minhag nowadays. The question always is like, if people don't know I'm pregnant, what should I do, et cetera? What if I don't want to announce I'm pregnant? Lamaisa, you know, I think everyone should follow their minhag. If someone's not sure what their minhag is, then I think that if they're worried that it'll be dangerous for them to go to the cemetery when they're pregnant, then they shouldn't go. And if they're not worried about it, then they can go, because I don't think it's a universal minhag. But if anything, that's the, you know, in the circles where I travel, the only thing I heard people talk about is this minhag. So it seems to be at least a semi-minhag, at least a minhag of some people. So I think that, you know, in that case, you know, yesh makom, at least if someone is worried about the sakana, to be nizer from it, but me ikra din, I don't think you have to be makbet on that either. You know, I'm a big mako. Everyone can go to cemeteries all day and all night and have a big day. Okay, Hadron Allah.
What about on Halloween? Is that winter?
Oh, wait, to a cemetery on Halloween?